Ah, mmm. The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.
Can you handle it?
The following is a production of Lift Hill Media. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the original theme park podcast. This is your announcer, Neil Patrick Harris.
To all who come to this happy place, welcome.
Podcasting from our glass-enclosed studios in Washington, D.C., this is CoasterRadio.com. Here are your hosts, Mike Collins and E.B.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to the final episode of Season 12 here at CoasterRadio.com, the original theme park podcast. Thank you guys so much for being here with us throughout this entire season. And EB, we have got a great one to end things up this week.
Yeah, I like this, Mike. So we have our final episode of the season here at CoasterRadio.com. It is Thursday. It is August 30th, and this is the day that Six Flags made all their announcements. This is the day we found out about Copperhead Strike. So we decided we're going to do a live episode of CoasterRadio.com, and that's what you're listening to right now, CoasterRadio.com Live, our reactions and the listeners' reactions to all of the announcements today.
Yeah, normally we record the show on a Tuesday night at 9:30, and you can watch us record the show anytime we do it. It's at live.coasterradio.com. But we're actually doing it on a Thursday night, just hours after all the announcements were made. But we do have a live audience watching us right now. And this is really one of the more interactive episodes that we have ever done, because not only can people watch us record, but they are also participating in a chat room. So we've got everybody in there just kind of chatting about all the things we're talking about. But this time we've got two other things. We've got live polling we're going to be doing tonight.
Yep.
And we've also got a live Twitter feed going. So anybody who is watching right now on the webcast can actually participate in the conversation either using the chat room, or you can tweet at us using hashtag Coaster Radio.
Yeah, and Mike, you're also going to be dropping in. When you do live.coasterradio.com, you're not only watching us record the podcast episode, but you're seeing us record the podcast episode. And so, yeah, me and Mike are there in the video, but you're also going to be playing in videos of these new rides that have been announced as we're discussing them. So that's pretty cool, too, if you're watching us live.
Yeah, and if you missed this live look-in webcast, what we're going to do is put it on our YouTube channel. So if you go to our Facebook page, you go to Twitter, or you find us on YouTube, this is actually going to be put up there so you can check this out and see kind of what a behind-the-scenes look at our podcast is all about.
There you go. Cool. Yeah.
So no editing tonight. This is going straight up to the internet because it's exciting. Like, this was a big day if you're a fan of theme parks, because not only did Six Flags announce everything that they're doing at every single one of their parks for 2019, but Carowinds had a gigantic announcement today.
Yeah, they did. And Mike, before we even get into these, I want to ask you, did the day live up to your expectations? That's the first question I want to ask you.
That's a good question. You know, all the announcements are really cool, but if I have to jump right in, and I don't want to start this big season finale on a bummer, but like, I don't know, there wasn't anything that was like mind-blowing today. Would you agree? Like, was there anything where you were like, oh my God, that's the best roller coaster I've ever seen? I don't know.
I think it met expectations.
Yes.
You know, and that's the sad thing, right? Is that we kind of knew what Copperhead Strike was going to be, and we're going to talk about that in a bit. We knew West Coast Racers was coming. We didn't know the manufacturer or exactly what it was going to be, but we thought it would be something pretty cool. And then we knew, you know, that Apocalypse was going to go floorless. We knew that there was probably going to be a roller coaster at Great America, but there were no surprises, right?
Yeah.
Didn't you want to see a T-Rex somewhere? Didn't you want to see a raptor somewhere that you didn't expect it was going to happen? That's what I think is disappointing, is there was nothing that was like, oh, that is such a surprise to me.
Yeah.
Everything was sort of like, oh yeah, that's cool. And yeah, okay, good.
Yeah.
Great.
Everything was kind of exactly as you expected, which is kind of a bummer, because I think these days with the way things go with the internet and with all the coaster boys being able to do research and check into the plans at city councils and stuff, there's no way to keep anything a secret anymore.
Well, but there were little things. I mean, we're going to talk about little things specifically at different parks and different aspects of certain roller coasters that were announced that are surprising and that are worth getting excited about. But I just don't feel like there was no mega bomb announcement that was like, oh, whoa, they're going to build a T-Rex. I mean, the T-Rex, I think that was the thing. And disappointment, I think, overall, that there's no more Raptors coming.
Yeah, I think that is the bummer. I was thinking we were at least going to see one. You know, or at least see the first T-Rex or something. Like, you know, yeah, we just didn't see anything.
Mr. Nemesis in the chat room, he's disappointed there wasn't the 500-foot BNN that was rumored.
That's right. You always are looking for that. We're looking, what is the year that is coming, you know?
You're like, right. You're right. Okay, so let's get back to it. The big one that came late, Copperhead Strike from Carowinds.
Yes, yes. And if you are watching right now at live.coasterradio.com, we've actually got video. The interesting thing about this, and I think something that a lot of people called, the ride actually starts out with a JoJo roll, something we haven't seen since Dorney Park did it with Hydra the Revenge.
Now, and they named the JoJo roll up at Hydra Dorney Park after the designer, right?
Yes, yeah.
Or after his daughter? I can't remember exactly what it was.
Yeah, actually, it was after the guy. I think he was like the director of like attractions or something. His name was Joe, so they got a JoJo roll or so. So I'm surprised that that name has stuck and continues
on. I was going to ask you, is Carowinds calling it a JoJo roll?
Yeah, right now, actually, from Carowinds on their website, they say that, you know, the ride immediately leaves the station and goes into a JoJo roll.
There you go. Yeah. Okay, excellent. And I like that too, because it does. It leaves the barn. Well, we just saw that in the video, and it goes over that nice slow roll. And we're talking about no over the shoulder restraints here. So you're hanging upside down slowly, and then it makes a 180-degree turn and takes you into the launch building, which I guess is, so you start out in the jam factory, or I guess Granny making jam in the barn. Yeah. And then you leave that, and then you find the other barn where she's making the moonshine. Although they never say moonshine.
They just
say something else.
Yeah, I do like
she's making something else.
There is a moonshine still in that second barn, which I like. I think that's pretty cool. There is a moonshine theme.
She's cooking up something in copper pots.
Yes, I love that there's actually
we won't say the word moonshine, though.
I know. A moonshine theme coaster.
So the JoJo roll into the second barn. That's where the moonshine is happening. And then I guess the story is kind of weird to me. So you're going to Granny's farm, and you're going out into the cornfields, and watch out because there's a lot of copperheads there. And then you are trying to steal her secret jam recipe. So are we criminals? And we're trying to steal an old lady's jam recipes because we're jealous that she always wins at the county fair.
Yeah.
And then we find the still where she's making moonshine. And then we hear a shotgun blast. Is that what I read?
I think so. I think that's what's going on.
Shotgun blast. It's like, oh, we got to get out of here. Somebody's going to catch us. Yes. And then we launch out of the state, out of the launch barn.
Yeah, and I'm liking what I'm seeing in the chat room right now. First, people asking if I will be drinking moonshine to celebrate, which maybe I will be, since this is the last episode of Coaster Radio for the season. After this is done, I might go get myself some moonshine. But also, Paolo has a good idea. He goes, why don't they have a moonshine tasting bar right outside of the ride? I think that'd be cool.
Ooh. Do they sell alcohol at Carowinds? I don't think they do.
I don't think they do. But maybe now's the time if you're going to have a moonshine themed ride. So,
What if they had non-alcoholic moonshine themed drinks?
Oh, that'd be cool. Yeah, you could do that.
I'm assuming. Are they going to sell jam in like the gift shop?
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good
Is
question.
Is that a thing?
Yeah,
that would be weird.
Yeah.
We're watching the video here, Mike, and this ride looks great. I love about this ride. I think the elements that really make me smile and really make me want to ride this ride, it's these vertical loops.
Yes.
That are just so perfectly go through a perfect vertical loop. And the first one there that you launch into is almost a circle, right?
Yeah.
It's not a teardrop. It's a circle because the way that you come out of it and go up the little hill at the end. And so they look so good. And when you watch the POV, you just feel like it's this wonderful upside down experience where, you know, other elements will twist you and turn you and flip you around and things like that. I really love just a really perfect loop.
Yeah, a lot of those loop inversions there have a lot of hang time, too, I'm noticing, at least what the point of view animation is looking like. Also, two launches. I like that. So I always like it when the park kind of writes about, here's what's unique about our ride. And so I think, what do they say? It's the only ride in the Carolinas with two launches. So that's kind of interesting that they
do. Yeah, that. Yeah. Coaster Talk is telling us in the chat room that, yes, they do sell alcohol. So there you go. Maybe they will have moonshine.
Yeah, maybe. I think it's a perfect
comment. And Paolo is definitely reminding us that in that announcement video that they did, where they had the stage performance, and Granny actually came out and she literally stomped on and killed a snake in the announcement stage show. She had moonshine and she drank it right on stage.
Yeah.
So maybe they won't be shying away from the moonshine after all. But yeah, that last inversion, is it the last inversion? We're watching the video again. There's a lot of hang time on that one, Mike. It's the where you really do go up there and hang high up. I remember when we were looking at the plans and everybody was kind of trying to decipher what the footers were and how they were laid out. And that looked like it might be a top hat, but it's not. You actually go up and then you hang upside down, that last inversion.
Yeah,
it's really, really good. And I like the fact we'll talk about restraints. This ride is just the lap bar restraints, which makes it look even better.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about that in another roller coaster coming up. We'll talk about the restraints.
Yeah. I want to talk about the launches, though, because the first launch is 0 to 42 miles an hour in 2.5 seconds, which isn't like the fastest launch out
there
at all.
That's how fast my car could go.
Yeah.
My car can go.
So I'm a little surprised about that, but I like the second launch. That kind of launches as the ride is already moving, but kind of launches you into a bunny hop hill. So that looks like that's going to be fun.
The launch begins before the bunny hop, continues through the bunny hop, and after the bunny. That is really neat to accelerate through a hill. It'll be fun to kind of experience what that's like.
Yeah. So I'm excited about that. So some neat stuff here. The ride is going to be 2 minutes and 24 seconds, about 3,200 feet. And I like it. I think it's going to be a good addition. And I remember when we were at Carowinds for the Coaster Radio meetup years ago, there were hints at this ride at that point. They were even giving us hints. They kind of pulled us aside, talked a little bit about what Carowinds was going to do. And this was the exact roller coaster they were kind of hinting at coming. Interesting.
Yeah, it looks really good. I like the in the videos, we see a couple of really good viewing areas that this ride is going to have, one towards the end, one at the launch in that first vertical loop. But the other thing I really like about this ride, Mike, is the logo. I do like the logo.
Yeah.
It's a snake made out of copper pipe. It's cool.
It is. I do like it. And you know what? After having ridden Time Traveler at Silver Dollar City, I'm a fan of mock roller coasters. And I like that, like, you can tell, taking a look at this roller coaster, it's got a similar look to it and kind of some similar inversions and similar elements. I'm really excited about this. I like their style of ride.
Yeah, I'm not feeling the old Rusty Barn. It's got a lot of My Home Park, Holiday World, Thunderbird, it has an old barn. I don't like an old barn.
Yeah,
I would have rather it have been something else. Like, I wish Granny wasn't in an old rusty barn. It would have been fine for her to be in a nice barn.
Yeah,
I don't know why they
true.
Went with the old rundown barn. But
and
that's okay. It's cool. It'll be great. There's three different buildings, it looks like. So you go into the load building and then the launch building. And then there's another building at the end, which maybe is maintenance. I don't know.
Yeah, I am really hoping that.
And a cornfield. There's a cornfield in this rendering. I remember when Thunderbird was announced in the rendering, there was a cornfield. And it's like, well, there literally is a cornfield next to Holiday World at that spot, but you're not actually going to plant a pumpkin patch and a cornfield next to the ride. And they didn't. And this one has a cornfield too. And it's like, you guys are not actually planting a cornfield in the Carolinas like you have in this video. Stop it.
Yeah. I am really hoping that, I don't know, that they really have fun with the barn itself, especially at the launch barn, and maybe do some effects in there. I know there aren't any in the POV that we're looking at, but I'm really hoping that they do something like some smoke, some steam, something like that in there that makes it a little
fun. I think you'll have that, like some rattling kettles and the pipes are kind of about to burst, and then you hear the sound of the whoever has the gun. I guess that's coming to chase you out. If it's Granny herself or if it's the cops, or I don't know who's coming to chase you out of there. But yeah, there's going to be something in there.
Yeah, I think so too. So
and the question here in the chat room is Granny going to be a walk around character? And you got to think yes, no.
That I would think so. I think you'd have to have an old granny out there like screaming, yelling.
Yeah,
that'd
because
be so fun.
I mean, this is what we found when we went down to Carowinds is they have the old county fair people walking around. So why wouldn't you have Granny? I mean, we literally saw like carnival people doing a pie eating contest on the Midway.
Yeah.
In that area. Right. So you've got to think that Granny's going to be there, too.
Yeah, I would hope so. That would be they had some pretty good characters when we were there for the meetup in that county fair section. Yeah,
I like that.
So I think that could work. We're doing a poll right now at live.coasterradio.com. We're actually
hot or not.
Yeah, we're throwing it back to our hot or not episodes. We're going to do it for every single ride we talk about tonight. Copperhead Strike right now getting 100% hot.
100%.
So nobody having a problem with this so far. So that's good. And I know I'm curious what's going to happen once we get into the Six Flags rides. If everybody's going to say every ride is hot, we'll find out. But right now, 100% hot.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. So we'll see. So there it is. So I think it's a great addition. I'm wondering in terms of, I'd like to find out what the money spent is, because they said it is the largest addition.
They're counting the hotel.
Yeah,
they're counting the hotel, which is totally unfair. I mean, that's got to be the answer, right?
I guess so. I had to laugh, though. Somebody on Twitter was making a joke saying they said it was the largest announcement ever in Carowinds history. And they were basically saying maybe they meant that the stage presentation they did was the largest announcement presentation.
Why? Because they had like that Christmas lady come out and then Granny came out and stomped on a snake.
Yeah, maybe that was it. Because, you know, that costs some money to do that type of thing. I don't know. So let's move into Six Flags now. Six Flags is unique in that they take all of their parks and make all the announcements for the year on one day.
Yeah, and let's talk about this real quick. Did Carowinds, they planned their day for announcing Copperhead Strike on the same day they knew Six Flags was going to do all of their announcements.
Hmm.
That's kind of a bold move, right?
I think so. Do you think they knew? Do you think they look? Do you think they kind of looked over, or did Six Flags do it after?
Do you think somebody picked the date first, and then somebody else picked the day after?
It's a good question. I don't know, because normally you would think they wouldn't want to do it all on the same day. But also, maybe they're thinking, you know, if Carowinds did pick that day, maybe they're like, "Hey, we know we have something that's better than anything Six Flags is going to do." Who knows?
It is interesting that they went on the same day. And I kind of do wonder, and we're obviously going to get into it here with all the Six Flags announcements. But at the end of the day, who won Six Flags, the entire chain, versus Copperhead Strike? There's a reason we did it first, Mike.
Yeah, you might be right. But Six Flags, to be fair to Six Flags.
All right, let's get into it.
Yeah, they did have some pretty good announcements. I think let's start with what could arguably be the best one. I mean, I think you have to either go with Magic Mountain or Great America, depending on which type of ride you like.
Two roller coasters. Yeah.
Yeah. Although some of the other parks did get roller coasters too. We'll talk about that. But
yes.
Do you want to do Magic Mountain first? I think that'd be pretty good.
Do we need to spend some time talking about the Six Flags announced video?
I think so.
Do we need to spend some time doing that first?
I think so, because every year it's something that gets talked about. It's pretty wild.
All right, what is his name? Jim Anderson?
Yeah. Jim Reed Anderson, yes.
Jim Reed Anderson, this British dude. He's done this a couple years now, and this year he's in outer space. They spent some money on this, Mike.
I mean,
you know video production, and it looked cheesy, but even cheesy costs money.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Right? I mean, and here's the question I have. As a video guy yourself,
yeah,
does Six Flags No, it's dumb? Or do they think it's really cool?
That is a great question. Are they purposely going for cheese?
Right. That's what I wonder. Does he think tomorrow morning when they have their staff meeting?
Yeah.
Is he going to be there at the head of the conference table and be like, "That went so well. I thought it was Did you see when I made the ET reference? I think they loved it. Yeah. It went so great." I really wonder if he thinks he's funny.
I think it could be, and I have no idea, but it might be one of those situations where they are afraid to tell their own CEO that he's not funny.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Did he go in there and say, guys, it's going to be a forceful launch. I'm sorry. Guys, it's going to be a forceful launch.
Yeah.
So I'll say, may the force be with you.
Oh, yeah.
Say, that's a great idea, Mr. Anderson.
Yeah, I think that's it. Because have you ever worked? Yeah. Have you ever worked for an organization where like there's the all powerful CEO, but people are afraid to like be anything but a yes man to him?
And I really wonder, I mean, if anybody who is listening to this right now, you have to find the Six Flags announce video and watch this thing, because this guy, he's like chroma keying himself in a spacesuit floating through outer space, talking about how Six Flags has the greatest thrills in the universe. He is dropping puns from science fiction movies left and right. Open the pod bay doors, Hal, right? And then he like tosses it back to Houston. We have a problem. It is all over the place. And we talked about this last year, I think, when he did his whole like, I'm a biker dude. It's like on like a bad green screen again. Is it? I really don't know, Mike. I really don't know if he gets it, if he knows he's funny. Because I know, like you said, have you ever worked for that kind of boss? I have absolutely worked for the boss that doesn't get it.
Yeah.
And I wonder if he doesn't get it.
Well, you know what's funny is that I wonder if they're trying
David Weiss says in the chat room, wait a minute, that was fake. He wasn't in space.
No, yeah, he, believe it or not, that was all green screen. But you know what it makes me think of? It makes me think of like when Walt Disney was the spokesperson for his parks. And are they trying to make this guy into like a Walt Disney type figure? Like, why do we need to see him when like nobody knows who this guy is? Like, if he walked past me at Six Flags America, I wouldn't know who it was.
Wait a minute. At this point, you still wouldn't?
No, I
would. Because I feel like now I might.
Yeah, I guess. Well, maybe
the other thing is, because we've been doing this for a couple of years at this point, I am actually looking forward to seeing him in another video next summer.
True. Yeah, you look forward to it.
So it's
true.
Working, right? I don't know if it's working.
Yeah. You know what this means, though, is that we're looking for guests for the first couple episodes of season 13, and it's going to start with episode 500 of CoastaRadio.com. I doubt it's going to be him now. Like, I was thinking, do we get Jim Reed Anderson to come on?
That we would could be ask him.
Yeah, we could ask.
But do you know who I think we could get, maybe? The guy who put together that video. And he would reveal all of, you know, it's like Cohen flipping on Trump. We got to get that guy to tell us all of his secrets.
There you go. Yeah.
This guy just doesn't get it. Yeah. Seriously.
Well, I don't know if anybody from Six Flags Corporate is listening and you want to bring Jim Reed Anderson on. I think we would really enjoy having that dude come on and we'd ask him questions about it. It'd be fun. For real.
I like Jim. Hey, you know what? In all seriousness, Jim Reed Anderson, you're a cool guy. I like what you're doing. It doesn't matter if you get it or not. You're funny and I look forward to it. Like I already said. Okay, let's get into the rides.
No, that dude has some big British balls to put himself out there, and I appreciate. I don't know. I don't know if he's British or Australian or whatever, but like, dude's got some balls. I like that. Get yourself out there, man. That's good.
He made a tea joke. He had to get back in time for tea or something.
Yeah. See. All right. He's all right by me, man.
Yeah. Great.
Come on, episode 500. Come on, it'd be great.
Jim Reed Anderson.
So what do you say? Do you want to take a look at West Coast Racers here at Magic Mountain?
That's the one. This is the one, I feel like, Mike, right? I mean, we'll talk about Max Force, too. That's the other big roller coaster. But West Coast Racers, boy, this looks good, right?
Yeah. Now, here's what's interesting. I mean, again, I don't want to be the bummer, but I'm reading Coaster Boy.
They hate it. They hate it. They're so mad about it. I am so shocked by this because I watched this thing, and I'll be the first to say it. This is a Mobius roller coaster, right? It's a racing roller coaster where the tracks actually swap.
Yes.
As they return to the station. When I first watched this and then went away and then came back and watched it later in the day, I didn't realize you get to ride both sides.
Right. Right.
Because I didn't read through the comments. I didn't read the description. I just watched the video and moved on. But you actually, that is really cool to me. I like that a lot.
Yeah. And it starts making me worried when I see a roller coaster like this and I'm like, oh, that's cool. I would really enjoy, you know,
and then you read
that.
The comments and like, wait a minute, am I wrong?
Wait, do I not have coaster cred if I'm saying this is not a good? So, yeah. But I have to say, like, not every roller coaster at Magic Mountain has to be the ultimate in thrill and, you know, the pushing limits and stuff. They have enough of those that do that. I think this is a great, thrilling ride, kind of the steel version of, you know, Twisted Colossus that they have there. I think it's fun, and especially because I don't know about you, but it seems like you see the other train continuously, which you don't normally do on racing coasters. Most times on a racing coaster, you see the ride, I don't know, you see the other train like maybe two or three times. This you see
you
the entire
time.
Yeah,
you come together
time.
And then you go back apart. This one is they're running in parallel a lot of times and then like twisting above each other and below each other. Coaster Studios actually put out a really great commentary video where he kind of broke it down and discussed all of the elements, made those comparisons to Twisted Colossus. I thought that was a really good video. This, I love this. It's by Premier Rides. It's not as fast as people might have wanted it to be. Something else to mention is this gets Magic Mountain to 20 roller coasters, which is three more now than Cedar Point. Remember back in the day when Cedar Point and Magic Mountain were battling for who had the most roller coasters? And then now Magic Mountain's like, yeah, we got this. And Cedar Point's like, okay, we give up. Yeah. They're not even, you know what I mean? This, I like this a lot. This might be more interesting to me than Copperhead Strike. I think I like this one the best.
Interesting. Because I was going to ask you at the end of the show, which of these rides piques your interest the most? And so far, this is it. Very interesting.
Yeah, I mean, the high five moments, the racing elements, the fact that you are staying low to the ground. It's not the fastest ride, right? What does it top out? 55 miles an hour?
Yeah.
But the fact that it's so low and you're constantly racing. I love a racing roller coaster. And this one just is the racingest of racing coasters.
Yeah.
It seems like, right, it's themed to the cars. It reminds me a lot of Stunt Track, which is not a fast, incredibly intense roller coaster. It's not the longest roller coaster, but it's fun. It's well-themed. It's cars. But this is racing. This looks great. We should talk about the pit stop now.
Yes, please talk about the pit stop. I'm very interested to hear about that.
This is really cool. So you start out, you both launch out of the station, and then... So if you're in the first car where you load in, you race the other car. Then when you come around, because it's a Mobius coaster, you park back in the station. The other train, they load new people. You're in the other side of the station, and there's some sort of pit stop that happens.
Yes. Yeah.
So we don't know what that is. There's nothing in the animation. We've heard no descriptions whatsoever about what that is. Something is going to happen in there. If it's screens, if you just listen to audio and there's like, you know, you're in an interesting room, you have to think that it has to be something long enough that if they have a problem on the load side, it stays interesting.
Yeah.
Right. So something's going to happen in that pit stop area. Then both trains simultaneously move out and launch again to race.
Yeah.
So you get two races, essentially, one on each side. Then you come back around and you end up back on the load station side and you depart. So I'm really curious. I think that pit stop is going to make or break this ride.
Yeah. And I think what it's going to be is one of the guys from West Coast Customs is actually
right,
going to
that's
have.
What they themed the, that's yeah. what they've themed the ride to. And it's got like the logo on the front of the car and all that stuff. But there's nothing else in the ride with their branding. So is that going to be in the station?
Yeah. Very interesting. A couple of stats here. It's going to have 14 track crossovers. It's going to have that high five moment that you spoke about. 30 train interactions, 15 per lap. So that's what I was talking about. Yeah. Most other rides, like, you know, Lightning Racer at Hershey Park, you don't see the other train that often. You don't see it 15 times. So that's one of the things I like about this. But I think where the coaster boards are getting kind of bummed out, 55 miles per hour, nowhere near as fast as some of the other roller coasters at Magic Mountain.
No. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Check out the poll. We actually have it up at live.coasterradio.com right now. Between hot or not, 70% of the audience saying this is a hot ride. 30%, though, saying not.
Yeah, and I think this is because we were hoping there wasn't a lot of information about this. We knew it was West Coast Racers. We knew the land that was being cleared out, but we didn't have a lot of details. So I think imaginations kind of ran wild. And it's not as big or as fast or as tall or whatever about what it was going to be.
Yeah.
But I think this is really cool. I like this.
Yeah, I like it too. I think it's got
I
a cool look.
I think people
look.
Are also disappointed. The haters, I feel like, are, why is this going to Magic Mountain? Don't they have enough?
Yeah, that's true.
Right? They already have Twisted Colossus. They already have this is the only park that has high five moments in North America, and they have both.
Yeah.
Of the only high five moments in North America in racing coasters. So why not give that to another park in the chain?
Yeah.
I mean, we're going to get into what the other parks in the chain are getting, and they're not getting much.
No.
So
no.
why are they piling it all in on Magic Mountain? So I think that's why people are saying it's not hot.
Yeah. You know what's going to be interesting, though, is this is where we are probably going for the 2019 CoasterRadio.com meetup. So we're going to get a chance to check this out in person. But, man, two coasters in the same park where it's kind of a Mobius thing, you know, where you get to ride both sides. I love it. I think that's cool.
Yeah, this is a roller coaster I want to ride a lot.
Yeah. Let's move on to Six Flags Great America. This is the other gigantic roller coaster that Six Flags announced, and it's called Max Force. What are you thinking about this, EB?
Max Force sounds like a 1999 cartoon.
Max
that's
Goof.
That's on at 10:30 on Channel 5.
Yeah. Are you talking about Max Goof, one of your favorite cartoon characters, right?
No, not Max Goof. I think Max Force is like a teenager who's like a super genius and has been recruited by the CIA, and they give him some sort of like robotic arms or something, right? Max Force. I don't know.
Yeah.
Max Force. It's awful. This is horrible. Have we not gotten past Max Force to the extreme with two X's?
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Why are you doing this, Six Flags? Max Force. That's terrible.
Yeah. A lot of people are already saying that maybe the name won't stick. Maybe they'll put something else, because this looks like a great ride with not a fantastic name. I think there could be a better name.
There could be any name would be better. Silver roller coaster with a launch.
Yeah. Yeah. But hey,
name it that.
Yeah. The cool thing is, though, the launch here, the fastest launch coaster in North America, 78 miles per hour in less than 2 seconds.
Yeah, this is great. This thing looks really cool. The launch looks really cool. The fastest inversion is another one that this this ride is going to be doing. A barrel roll at some, what is it, 60-some miles an hour?
Yes.
That it's going to be doing this thing. The bunny hop that is right at the end of this launch, so you are going to hit that thing and just fly out of your seat. Mike, the bad thing about this roller coaster, it's got over-the-shoulder restraints. What are we doing?
I'm surprised at that. Like a lot of similar type rides, they're figuring out ways to do it without them, and I'm surprised about that they do have that.
Yeah, I mean, how about what's the other ride in the park that has full throttle, right?
Yeah,
full throttle. Doesn't have over-the-shoulder restraints, built by the same manufacturer, goes upside down in the tallest inversion. I don't know why they're doing this, but I was reading online. I was seeing some of the comments and things like that, that people were saying, that's just the rendering. It's not going to have it. Don't worry. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see if it doesn't have the over-the-shoulder restraints when it actually starts getting built.
Yeah.
Or if Six Flags wants to make an announcement to clarify.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious about this. There's some cool things here. First, the highest double inversion at 175 feet over the ground. So that's pretty cool. They're going to have the trains themselves look really beautiful. They're kind of modeled after Formula One racing cars.
Mm-hmm.
So that's great. This is this park's Great America's 17th roller coaster. So that's, you know, getting close to Cedar Point and Magic Mountain areas there. But here's what's neat is that I have not seen a roller coaster go zero to close to 80 miles an hour in 2 seconds, other than Hypersonic XLC back in the day.
This is fast.
Yeah.
This is really fast. And I think people are going to really like the launch. And the fact that it launches into that bunny hop is going to be a weird thing. And then it goes straight up into that big hill. It's going to be a good launch.
Yeah. So I'm really excited about that launch, because I remember Hypersonic being so insane. I mean, that going that fast, that quickly was something pretty wild.
Well, and we're watching the video again. We're live.coasterradio.com is when we record the show. We're watching the video. There's a lot after the ride, and I feel like the launch is the ride. It isn't necessary to have all of that, because it's great already.
Yeah. But
there's plenty of stuff that comes after the launch, too.
Yeah. So we're doing polling here, and 92% of the Coaster Radio audience right now saying that
there
Max Force is hot. So that actually getting a better rating than West Coast Racers. Which is interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. So more people excited about that. Is it because is our audience more of a thrill seeking audience, that they want the extreme thrill? So they like, you know, the 0 to 78 mile an hour launch in under 2 seconds. Is that what we're talking about?
Yeah, maybe it is. Maybe it is. I mean, this one does have the launch. It has that little bunny hop. It goes up high and has great inversions and things like that. But I don't know. The fun of the racing coaster to me is still my favorite.
Yeah. So I like it. I think it's good. It's interesting. I'm looking now. We've gone through three roller coasters. I'm trying to figure out. It's always so hard to tell by looking at point of view videos which of these is truly going to be, you know, the big winner next year. When we get to January and we're taking a look at you know, the best new roller coaster of the year, which one is it going to be? I can't tell yet. It's still up in the air. But I think that's what's fun about these announcements days. To take a look at that. So yeah, so far some pretty good roller coasters. Let's go out to the West Coast, Six Flags Discovery Kingdom. This made me laugh when I saw the name of this ride. For you talk about sometimes Six Flags not being original, not kind of reusing ride names. Six Flags Discovery Kingdom getting a Batman the Ride.
But not the Batman the Ride that you think they should get.
Yeah, yeah. So it's not exactly it. It's basically going to be one of those 4D coasters, 4D free fly coaster that a lot of the other parks have been getting. But I hear mixed reviews about these rides. So I don't know. I haven't been on one myself, and it looks fun. But some people say it's like too intense. That it kind of makes you sick, but other people love them. So I don't know what to think about this.
Yeah, I mean, this is the Green Lantern ride at Magic Mountain. It has a flat ride kind of a feel to me because the footprint is so small and you're spinning around so much in those seats, right? This is the wing coaster where you're just kind of spinning as you go around and around on this track. And so you don't really get the sensation, I feel like, of being on the track so much as that's just the path that you're following as you're flipping all over the place.
Yeah.
And why would they call this Batman and not, I have no idea what they're doing with this thing. I mean, it's great, and it's a great ride to have in a park. It looks really cool in a park, I'm sure, but I don't know what this thing is supposed to do.
Yeah. I need to ride one of these myself because I've heard so many different opinions on it that I really want to get on it. And
why isn't it called the Joker? They have like five other Jokers in other parks. Why is it Batman at this park and not Joker?
Yeah. Or even anything else. Because a Batman the Ride to me is so iconic.
It's supposed to, right.
Yeah, it's supposed to be the B&M, you know, inverted roller coasters. But I mean, I know that that's like to us, like theme park fans, we know that and not the general public and stuff. The audience completely split right down the middle on this right now. 50-50 saying hot or not.
Just about 50-50. Six Flags Fiesta Texas apparently also has theirs is themed Batman the Ride, where Great Adventure, Great America, Six Flags Over Texas, and New England, theirs are the Joker. So, I don't know what. And when Six Flags New Mexico calls theirs Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
Their SNS 4D. Yeah. I don't know what y'all. Six Flags, this is the thing. I mean, we joked about this a lot last year with Six Flags about how they will put the identical ride in different parks and then call them different things.
Yeah.
Right? We saw this with the Harley Quinn and the Cyborg and Superman. Guys, I don't know why you do this. Just call it the same thing.
Yeah. I think this is one of those rides that I would like to sit and watch, but I don't necessarily want to ride. I think the flipping would be too much. You know,
It would be fun. Well, the chat room here is pointing out that it's next to their Joker roller coasters already. So
yeah, so they can't call it that. So I don't know. This is the first one that doesn't excite me. I think all of the other rides we've talked about, I'm like, oh yeah, definitely. I would make a trip to the park.
Well, because we've seen this before and we can access it and we can go ride this exact same ride, you know, in a dozen other parks.
But I got to be honest, I wasn't excited the first time I saw it either, when it was brand new at one of the other parks, you know, when they put it in Magic Mountain or whatever.
Because it's technically a roller coaster, but it plays like a flat ride to me.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So a lot of times Six Flags, you know, kind of puts similar rides in all of their parks. I mean, they're a giant chain. They can't have brand new, you know, unique rides in every single park. Sometimes they do have to put the same thing. But I do like it when a park gets a ride that has been duplicated a lot of places, but they go for a world record with it, you know, making it the tallest or the fastest of its kind. And that's what's happening at Six Flags Great Adventure. I like it.
Well, when you say greatest and the world record breaking, you mean three-way tie, right?
Yeah.
Because that's what we're really doing here with this thing. This is the big giant pendulum ride, right? Yeah. This is what we're talking about, the 17 stories tall. Which one are we talking about? Talking about the Joker one, or are we talking about the Wonder Woman one, or are we talking about the Harley Quinn one?
Yeah, well, this one is at Six Flags Great Adventure. It's Wonder Woman Lasso of Truth.
This is the Wonder Woman Lasso of Truth. Yeah. That is yet another Wonder Woman Lasso of Truth. That is a totally different ride.
Yeah. Yeah. This is why for like us, for theme park podcasters, it starts getting confusing, because if somebody calls in and says, hey, I rode Wonder Woman Lasso of Truth, we don't know what you're talking about.
Great. How was that roller coaster?
Yeah. You're like, oh, no, it's the pendulum ride, guys. Yeah. So like all of a sudden, like there's enough to memorize when we're talking about all this stuff. And now I'm totally thrown because I don't know. Like I'm going to have to sit there with a list of all the Six Flags bikes rides to figure this out.
It does get difficult. This thing looks great. I have become more and more, the more pendulum rides that I ride, I love these things more and more. My family loves them. My wife loves them. My kids love them. This would be a lot of fun. I have not ridden any of these gigantic ones yet. And so I would really like to.
Yeah.
I think this is great. If they want to plop these down in all the Six Flags parks, great.
They're cool.
Because it looks cool and they're really fun.
Yeah. You got to love it, man. Like 75 miles an hour. That's fast for one of these rides, you know?
Yeah. This is a lot of fun.
Yeah. 172 feet in the air. That's cool, man. Yeah. So I do like it. I love these. I'm with you. I wish every park had one because I just think it's one of those that's like, it's so exciting. And it's one of those that it feels completely different once you're on it than you think it might. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not sickening at all. You just get this like free flying feeling and stuff. And to do it like 17 stories in the air. Man, that's
cool. I mean, I like a little teeny tiny one. I mean, the chaos rides are the little tiny ones like they have at Kentucky Kingdom, and they have a little one up there at Knoebels has a little one. The little ones are great.
Yeah.
The big ones, they're awesome. They're so much fun.
Yeah, the audience likes this one, EB. 100%. Nobody is saying it's not hot.
Everybody likes it. Okay,
yeah,
good.
Yeah, so you know what? I mean, that's everybody agrees with that one. So see, that's an example of why a park doesn't need to put in a roller coaster every year to have a hit. I mean, this is you got to have a well-rounded collection at your park, and that's what they've got. So I think that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Good stuff. Let's go to Darien Lake. It's going to be a new Six Flags park or an old Six Flags park that's back to Six Flags again, I guess you can. They are installing the Six Flags Sky Screamer.
Yeah, so they're getting a Sky Flyer, right? I mean, this is what they're getting, a big swing ride. It is a big swing ride, 242 feet.
Yes.
That's really, really tall. But Darien Lake fans are upset about this. They wanted a roller coaster.
Yeah, I think they were thinking, you know, Six Flags comes back and that's what they're going to do. But yeah, no roller coaster for them. But I've been on this type of ride before. This is scarier to me than a Windseeker. Or, you know, because of those chains that are just,
because you're just hanging from chains on these little tiny little, I can't believe that the height restrictions on these are so as low as they are.
Yeah.
Because this thing is really scary and really fun. This is fine. I mean, Darien Lake, don't complain too much because this is a good, fun ride. Yeah, I know you wanted a roller coaster. You didn't get one this time around, but this is great. This is good.
Yeah.
If you didn't have a swing ride like this already, you need one.
Yeah. 35 miles an hour, too. You know, that's not nothing. That's pretty good. And again, Coaster Radio audience, 100% of people who
everybody
are watching the show.
Good.
Yeah. Nobody is saying this is a bad idea. So see, this is interesting because when you go and you read what theme park fans are saying on Reddit or in some of the YouTube channels or on Facebook, a lot of people complain. They're like, wait, why should Darien Lake get that? But take a look. Take a look at really what's going on here. You don't need a gigantic roller coaster every time. You've got to kind of put in these flats around to make the park well-rounded.
Yeah, you do, but I still think Darien Lake fans, they wanted to have something else. And now that we've talked about a park that Six Flags is acquiring next year, I wanted to talk about the membership.
Yes,
Six Flags has talked about the perks and things like that, and we'll get into this and we'll talk more about it. They're doing their flash sale this weekend where people are trying to buy into these the memberships at a pretty deep discount and the passes and whatnot. Those memberships are not going to be valid at these newly acquired parks.
Really?
I was surprised by that.
Okay.
I guess they haven't figured it out yet, but if you go on there, in the fine print, it says you cannot go to Frontier City, you cannot go to Darien Lake with your season, your membership to another Six Flags park. But what's really weird is you can buy a Six Flags membership at Darien Lake or Frontier City or the other parks. And that is good for all the other parks.
Oh, interesting.
So it's weird that way. Where
yeah.
if you buy your, so I was looking at my, you know, because we're talking about Magic Mountain and I still need to get up to Great America. I was going to get mine from Six Flags St. Louis because it's a dollar cheaper than Great America.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Yeah.
But when I was looking at it, you can't take that pass then and go to Frontier City.
Hmm. And you're somebody who does travel around and gets to all those parks. So it would make sense for you.
It's interesting. So you got to be careful and you got to pay attention. I'm so confused about the membership, Mike. And this is this is another episode of the show that we'll probably get into in the off season as people are thinking about their season passes. It's really confusing and there's so much going on with it. And I just don't understand it. But I think I might have to figure it out because I think I need to get a Six Flags membership because it's a really good deal right now. And yeah, there's great perks. And we're going to be going to Six Flags this summer, next summer.
And they're talking about all those membership rewards. Like, they're, it's kind of like a casino where you have,
yeah,
like
the weird points and, yeah, the perks and things like that. It's difficult. And so you feel tricked. And then you also feel like you're missing out if you don't do it. Like, I was looking at the pass and it was like, well, I want to get it for next summer. And it's like, oh, but it's also good for all of 2018 too. And it's like, oh, well, I guess I have to go to the park now in November.
Yeah.
Cause you feel like you're missing out if you don't.
Yeah. It's it's interesting what they're working on there, because they're even saying that as you ride roller coasters and you check in on your phone, that will give, right, you points for the reward system. So
there's all sorts of things that give you points. Yeah, yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, I like that, though. I like that if you ride a roller coaster five times, you get points. Or if you go and, like, eat food somewhere, you get points. You go, you know, it's neat. Go see a show, you get points. It's a cool idea. Like, depending on how much you're at the park and how much you're a fan of the park, that you get rewarded for that. I think that's cool.
Well, they're gamifying the whole thing, right?
Yeah.
The whole game theory thing to it. Because, yeah, you look at it and you do the math and you start thinking about it and you're like, well, I'd be a sucker if I just got the gold membership. I have to get Diamond Super Elite, or,
yes,
whatever it's called, because of all of these perks and things like that. And you can get up to, you get like 50% off everything in the park.
Yeah.
Once you get to a certain level, it's such a scam. But then it consumes you.
Right.
So I was like, well, if I got the Super Diamond Elite or whatever for all five members of my family, well, that's it. We're just doing Six Flags.
Yeah. True.
Right.
True.
For every trip year round, we have to go to Six Flags to make it worth it, but it's so worth it.
Yeah.
But that's weird, right? You don't want, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's an interesting tactic. We'll see if it works.
Yeah. The interesting thing is, as much as we talk about Disney and Universal kind of leading things, neither of those big parks do anything like this. There's no rewards program for Disney or Universal. Like, the Six Flags,
yeah,
right now owns that. Even Cedar Fair, yeah, isn't doing that.
Yeah, and now this points thing where you can actually, you know, gain more perks and benefits as you go along experiencing the parks makes it even more so. And yeah, it's going to be fun to see how people deal with that and treat that. I'm sure there's going to be people, just like we have weird people that will go and ride a roller coaster every day for hours,
yeah,
every day, all season long. It's like, oh, I got on Steel Vengeance 380 times this season, guys. What is that going to do for the point system?
Yeah, true. Yeah,
you know,
that's
what,
right,
I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
It's going to be weird to see what happens.
Interesting. Let's move on here and see some of
let's talk about the rides again.
Because Six Flags America announced that Apocalypse, as we know, yep, it, their stand-up roller coaster, is going away. But now we know why, because they are essentially turning it into Firebird, what they're calling the only floorless roller coaster in Maryland. So, you know, this,
okay,
is kind of what we expected. Like, Six Flags America, man, I feel bad for them. They're like the stepchild. They're like, the, you know, the redheaded stepchild. They don't get that many brand new things. In this case, they're just throwing some floorless trains onto their old roller coaster there, which I guess maybe makes it more exciting. Maybe it makes it re-rideable. I don't know. But
is there going to be fire? I mean, Apocalypse had effects on it, right? Originally?
Yeah.
But did the effects continue to work all the way until Apocalypse closed down? Are they going to be bringing that back? And I love this. We're watching the video now, live.coasterradio.com. They're showing actual real video. There's no rendering of Apocalypse or Firebird with the new floorless trains. And they're showing other floorless roller coasters.
Yeah, they're showing the one at Fiesta, Texas. Yeah, they're showing,
yeah,
like the Superman at Fiesta, Texas. They're not even like bothering to show like a rendering or anything. So it just shows that Six Flags America doesn't get the respect and love from the corporation. It's just...
You can see the cliff of Fiesta, Texas, yeah, in the background, and the track is blue and yellow and red.
Yeah.
I mean, they could have at least thrown like an orange filter on this thing to make it look like fire. Whatever.
That's what I'm surprised. I'm surprised about that. So, yeah, I feel bad for them, but at least it's something. You know, it's not like they're just getting a restaurant or something. They are getting, you know, supposedly a quote unquote upgrade to their ride there. And yeah, they've got to, like, you know, change the floor out and stuff like that, but
we're definitely getting this is now when we are kind of turning the corner in the Six Flags announcements.
Yes.
Mike, let's move on.
Yeah, by the way, the audience split on it 50-50, saying, like, you know, hot or not. So, you know,
well, it's too bad we're losing another stand-up. There's not very many of them left, but this will make this ride rideable again.
Yeah. So speaking, yeah, of Fiesta, Texas, which is a fantastic park. It's one of the best parks I've ever been to, especially in the Six Flags chain. They are getting the Joker wild card. So
yes, the Joker wild card, because as everyone knows, Joker is a pendulum, right?
Yeah.
No, it's not. And of course, wild card. What do you think of when you think of wild card? Something that's rectangular? Nope. This thing is triangle shaped with a big circle on the end.
Yeah.
So what is this Joker wild card, Mike? What are they doing at Six Flags?
Well, it's the exact.
Maybe it's that CEO. Maybe he's sitting there. He's like, all right, this one's going to be called Joker. And what does he do? He has cards. Joker wild card.
You know what's interesting?
Or maybe
though,
they like have a giant wheel that they spin. Yeah. I have no idea how they're choosing the names for these things.
You know what's funny is how they're marketing this. They're saying it's
world's tallest.
Yes, but also the fastest ride in their history at 75 miles an hour, even faster than some of their roller coasters. That to me is interesting. But you're right; it shares the world record with two of their other parks.
Right. So again, it's the world's fastest in a three-way tie.
Yeah. Kind of. Yeah, I always like how they do that. It's always fun to see the marketing of these things, you know?
Stop.
I don't know. So when we take a look at what Coaster Radio audience is saying about it right now, so far positive. 66% of the audience saying it's hot.
And I mean, we talked about this with the Wonder Woman. This ride is great. It's an awesome ride. We just don't understand how Six Flags names things.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a thing. But you know what? I mean, as much as us as theme park fans talk about
it. There's like, Firebird in the background watching the video. Yeah. There it went.
Yeah, Firebird going on. So let's move on to the next one here. Let's stay in Texas. Six Flags over Texas. They've got the Lone Star Revolution, which essentially is a Larson Super Loop.
Yeah, the big one, the 100-foot Super Loop.
Yeah.
Great.
So
good.
You're like, there's nothing else to talk about.
I mean, is there? Right?
Have you been on one of these before? Like, is it thrilling at all? Or is it?
I've never been on the 100-foot ones, but I've been on other ones before, and they're fine.
Yeah.
They are. I mean, it's just like at the fair, right? I mean, this is where we've ridden this thing, is it's the dumb loop at the fair, except a little bit bigger, and it slowly goes up and slowly goes around. You go six times, I think, is what this one's going to do, six inversions.
Yeah.
It's fine. It's perfectly fine.
Yeah.
I would never qualify this as a roller coaster, no matter what debate you want to have about it. So I think it's good that we finally come down on that. But again, this is the equivalent of getting any other kind of flat ride in the park. I feel like you could get an Enterprise, and I would be just as excited as a Larson Loop.
Yeah, they're saying that it's the largest coaster of its kind.
It's the 100-foot version. It's the new gigantic one.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. I mean, I guess that's the threat, you know. But they're all calling it a roller coaster too. So
yeah, they try, but no, it's not.
That's the other thing. Is it technically a roller coaster?
No. Roller Coaster Database doesn't count it, and yeah. So I think that's where everybody goes to make that decision.
But definitely, the general public definitely would. Oh, man, Coaster Radio audience doesn't like...
Only the dumb ones.
Yeah. I'm looking at what the audience is in the poll here. 77%
not. A quarter of
this, yeah, they only 22% of the audience thinking this is a good idea. So, I don't know. But you know what? It's one of those things. It's a spectacle. You know, you put
it
in the
park. Was
it
last year or the year before that they did like five or six of these things at Six Flags? Because I feel like obviously Six Flags over Texas somehow didn't get theirs in that round. And it's like, oh, we're getting this new ride a year later.
Yeah, that's it. So, yeah, that's the thing. Like the Six Flags announcements, like the first five are fantastic. But then you start seeing the same thing that you saw last year at another park.
Well, because that's what they say now is their new thing is every park's going to get something new every year, even if we have to make it up. Like we're going to see later on when we just rename a water park.
Yeah. Yeah. So here's one that confuses me.
Thrilling restaurant.
With that British accent. So Six Flags New England, they are getting the Cyborg attraction.
And yes.
The thing is, though, is this the same Cyborg attraction that we have seen other places? Or is this slightly different?
I saw it described as a roller coaster on one site.
Really?
It looks like a pendulum ride. I think the video that they used was like a Cyclos pendulum ride, like one of the small ones.
Yeah.
Inside some sort of dark ride attraction.
Hmm. Okay.
And so they're saying it's going to be spinning and it's a dark ride and there's interactivity. So we don't know what this thing is, right? I mean, we're watching the video right now here on the live stream. You can't tell what this thing is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Watching this video. So maybe they'll put the Cyborg ride that we've seen where it's the gyroscope thing inside a building.
That'd be cool. Yes.
Right. Kind of like we see, you know, they put scramblers inside buildings and put lights on them and lasers back in the 70s and 80s. Maybe that's what they're doing again. Or is this, I mean, that's got to be what it is, right?
Yeah, I mean, they're saying...
Because, I mean, they wouldn't use this video if they were going to make a spinning wild mouse inside a building.
Right, right. Well, what they're saying, though, in their press release, they're saying that it's actually going to have a DC superhero storyline featuring...
It has a story.
Yeah, so...
Do it.
Like, all these other rides don't, but it's about Cyborg's battle with a DC supervillain. So, and they're talking about state-of-the-art lighting and sound effects. So maybe they are going to put it inside a building. That'd be cool.
Yeah, so you actually are going like on a tour of Star Labs and then something terrible goes wrong. And then you have to battle your way out or whatever it is. And Cyborg comes to save the day. So that to me says it has to be like a traditional dark ride attraction or some sort of like wild mouse that goes through a show building with different scenes along the way.
Yeah.
But the video that they've produced is it's a Cyclos that is, or a Huss Frisbee. And then they've put that like superimposed on video of just darkness.
Yeah.
And so who knows, this might be the sleeper hit. I mean, if this turns out to be some sort of really cool, well-themed interactive roller coaster, that could be something really special.
Yeah.
Or they could literally just put, you know, some spinning thing inside of a room with lasers and have the story be in the queue.
I always liked Tomb Raider that they put inside the box. Remember that? It was like the indoor top spin and they had all the sound effects. And at one point they had Lara Croft running around like a live actor in there. I'm all for that. If you can take a flat ride, put it inside, give it some storyline, give it some lighting, have some fun with it. Pretty cool.
Oh yeah, and then what's one of the indoor scrambler rides? Astrosphere. That's so much fun. That something like that would be great.
Yeah,
that but is cool. I don't know how they're going to make it have a story without it being bigger than that or more than that.
Yeah, Coaster Radio audience not sold on this, EB, but it's close. 57% saying no, 42% saying yes. So, you know, could be worse, I guess. But
yeah, Tom is wondering what's in the shed, the cyborg shed.
Yeah, there we go. Six Flags Over Georgia, they're also getting one of these pendulum rides. This one called Pandemonium. It's got a cool theme though. Kind of got the steampunk theme going for it.
Yeah, the steampunk thing that's so hot right now.
Yeah. It's been around a little while, but this is not as big as the other one. You got to wonder why they wouldn't put the big one in at Over Georgia too. Like, give them the 17 story one. This one only 15.
Another world record holder. Yeah. Why not make it a 4-way tie?
Yeah.
This one's 150 some feet where the other ones are 170. Yeah. That it's interesting, isn't it? Because was there some reason beyond just, we want to save a, you know, few thousand bucks? I mean, I can't imagine it was that much of a difference. I don't know.
Yeah. It's a good question. Or is it like a matter of space, or is it a matter of, you know, their height restriction? Who knows? But that's weird. That why have one that's, you know, that much shorter? It's 70 miles an hour. It's kind of strange, right? Instead of going all the way up 178 feet or whatever, this one's only 147 feet. Maybe, too close to the airport. That's another thing that Brian's talking about in the chat room and stuff. It could be. Could be any of those things. Sure.
That's when you got to do the Glenwood Caverns thing and dig down, man.
Oh,
Come on.
There you go.
Put this thing 50 feet in a pit.
Yeah. A little trench. And then you go back and forth. So
wouldn't that be cool?
Yeah. So how many parks then? So we're talking about four of these going to Six Flags parks?
Yeah. Four of these big giant pendulum rides.
Yeah. Yeah. The audience likes it, though. 66% of the audience saying it's hot. 33% saying not. So, you know.
I have no problem with these.
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty good. One last one that we'll take a look at here, at least with video, if you're watching us at live.coasterradio.com. And I don't know, it's Six Flags St. Louis. And the first time we've seen a ride named this after Supergirl. We've not seen that before.
Yeah, we've got a Supergirl. And again, I mean, I talk about this a lot, that the character renderings that they choose for these rides, they're totally unique. And they don't match the comics, they don't match the TV shows, they don't match the movies. They are their own Six Flags versions of these characters, right? With they have a totally different face or hairstyle or costume. So yeah, this is Supergirl, and it's not the Huss Enterprise. It's that new one that they just got down there at Kentucky Kingdom.
Is it from Zamperla? I think it's Zamperla.
Yeah, this is that Zamperla, where it's basically it's basically an Enterprise without the cages.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah. It looks cool. It's fun. Another good flat ride.
I rode one just like this at Lagoon, and it's super fun. It's a great ride.
Yeah.
But again, well, let's just build in this ride and then slap a DC Comics character on it for no good reason.
Yeah.
And why is it green? I'm watching this. Why is it green? Supergirl isn't green.
Yeah, that's a little strange. It's almost like they're
obviously showing a video of somebody else's ride of this one. But again, you can do better than that.
Yeah, that's true. The audience likes it, though. 57% like it, 42% not like it. But if Six Flags is saying every park is going to get something new, and they don't have a lot of money for what they're doing at St. Louis.
Give them something. Yeah, it's something.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's pretty good. That's all right. Now, this is where we get to, like, all of the also-rans, I think, so we can sort of go through these quick.
Yeah, this is, like, third tier now we're getting to.
Yeah, in fact, even if you're watching on the live look-in webcast right now, we don't have video for any of these other ones, so... Like, the production value goes down on the webcast as you're watching this. So we'll go through quick because we're getting to the end of our show here. LaRonde also getting a super loop. They're going to call it Chaos. So that's great. What's going on there. A seven-story one, though. They're not getting the big, huge one.
They're not even getting the big one. Yep.
Yeah. Six Flags, Great Escape. They're going to add to their water park. They're going to rebrand it as Hurricane Harbor and get a bunch of new things there.
Yeah, this is the one I was joking about, where really the big thing that's coming to Six Flags Great Escape is a new name and a little kiddie ride that's like a water park version of the teacups.
Yeah, there you go. Also, Frontier City, a park that you just visited right before they made the big switch, they're getting something called Timbertown, which is going to have four new attractions for kids.
Yeah, and this is weird to me. I'm really surprised by this, honestly. I think they're having three new attractions. The video that we saw, obviously, of other parks' attractions, we saw like a little frog ride that went around. We saw another small ride. And then we saw a kiddie coaster that looked like a mine car roller coaster. So Frontier City might be getting another roller coaster credit, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
But the strange thing about Timbertown at Frontier City in Oklahoma City is it has these non-branded characters. Bucky Beaver, Hootie Owl,
yeah.
Bubba Bear.
Right.
What are they doing? Why are they doing this? I'm so surprised because when I went to Six Flags, or when I went, not yet Six Flags, Frontier City, I walked around thinking, how are they going to do the brand overlay of Six Flags? Because we're going to start seeing, Toontown, and we're going to see Bugs Bunny, and we're going to see Daffy Duck, and we're going to see all the DC Comics characters. But no, they're bringing in this original... these original characters?
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense to me. Why not put in these rides and then rebrand that whole area DC Super Friends? Make it like, the DC Super Friends where it's the kid versions of the DC Comics characters. Or make it be Bugs Bunny and make it be all of the Tasmanian Devil is the spinning ride. Why are they doing Bubba the Bear and Hootie the Owl? This is weird to me, and I don't understand it.
Yeah, a little strange. A little strange. At Six Flags Mexico... they are bringing, you asked for it, here they come, DC Super Friends and Bugs Bunny Boomtown. So that's
this,
what they're adding.
Why isn't this coming to Frontier City? This makes no sense.
Yeah, interesting, right? Actually, over there, too, they've got a Six Flags Hurricane Harbor they're adding as well. So they've got, I think they're going to add one of those King Cobra slides that we talked about years ago here
on
the show.
I like this King Cobra slide. It's so good. And the video that we saw on this one, you actually do go all the way up into the snake mouth.
Yeah, there we go. That's good. And then one last one. This is the park that people don't talk about, but it is part of Six Flags. Wet n' Wild Splashdown in Houston and Wet n' Wild Phoenix. Those are actually two, they're going to rebrand them as Six Flags Hurricane Harbor. So that's something we'll probably hear a lot more about.
Right. And they're getting nothing.
Yeah, there you go.
Except
yeah.
The new name.
They're just putting the new sign out front and that's it. So that's where their money's going to. So there we go. Those are all the announcements for Six Flags and also Carowinds. So it was a big, big day today. A lot of announcements for a lot of parks. Let's talk about it. I'm curious, especially the people who are in the chat room right now, and you can feel free to tweet at us at hashtag Coaster Radio, and I'm curious to hear what you think, EB. Which is, like, what are your top three? What are your top three attractions here that we've talked about today?
Well, looking at these attractions, if I could go anywhere and experience anything, it would have to be Chaos. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah.
if I had to pick, right, you say, hey, I'm going to fly you out. I'm going to take you there. You can go and you can ride the one ride. I'm going to ride the West Coast Racers.
Yeah.
That looks like so much fun, Mike.
Yeah.
It looks like so much fun and it looks really unique. It looks totally different from anything else that I've ever experienced before. I love racing coasters And the fact that this is not only a racing coaster, but you really do get to race twice.
Yes.
People were complaining. It's like, this ride's so short, it's so dumb. Well, it's not really when you get to do both sides of the track, you know, and at the same time, you also get that cool little show in the middle. And I think if that show is decent,
yeah,
this ride could be really, really fun and be two rides in one.
Yeah, it could be a good hit, man, especially just with those 15 moments of seeing the other ride, the crossovers and stuff. Really,
we talk about it all the time with, like, when we talk about speed on a roller coaster, you can go, you know, 128 miles an hour. But if you're going 128 miles an hour and there's nothing around you, it's hard to tell. If you're low to the ground like this thing is,
yeah,
55 might feel like 100 miles an hour.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. For me, I love West Coast Racers. I think that might be the most fun roller coaster that we've talked about tonight. The one that makes you laugh the most. I'd really like to get on Copperhead Strike, though. I think I'd like to see what that launch is like. Only because how much I love Time Traveler, I'd love to see what Mach does in this situation, too. So I love those two. But also, I got to say, aside from the name, Max Force looks pretty good, too. You know,
yeah, Max Force looks really good. Copperhead Strike, when I think about, again, like you said, Time Traveler, I think about the forces I experienced on that ride, the inversions on that ride. I was laughing and having a really good time, feeling like I was pulled through that ride the whole time.
Yeah.
If Copperhead Strike can have those same sorts of feelings, mm-hmm. Going through those inversions, especially those vertical loops that I love so bad, it could be really, really cool. So yeah, Copperhead Strike is right up there for me too, but I just feel like racing coasters, I mean, I would do a bad racing coaster over a really good, I just love racing coasters. I really want to ride it.
Yeah. James over at the Coaster Talk podcast just tweeted at us, and here's his top three from what we've talked about tonight. At number three, he has West Coast Racers. At number two, Copperhead Strike. But at number one, he's got Max Force. That's what he's
yeah,
liking,
that so. Launch, that launch, Mike. I mean, it all depends on what you want. Do you want to have something that's well themed and it's more of a, you know, a social event like West Coast Racers?
Yeah.
Do you want to have something that is forceful and has inversions and is a true roller coaster? That's going to be Copperhead Strike. If you want that launch, if you want those forces of a launch.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's going to have to be Max Force.
Throw a Steel Curtain in to this at Kennywood. That's the other one.
Okay.
Where is that? Is that right up there? I mean, is that, I'm trying to figure out.
I worry about Steel Curtain. Breaking
yes.
the world, breaking the North American record for number of inversions makes me feel like that ride might be one of those where you have to, you know, brace yourself and
yeah.
you have to conquer, right? It's not going to be, I mean, maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. I'm hoping to get back to Kennywood again next year and ride this thing. Is it going to be a ride that you experience and have fun with, or is it going to be a ride you have to conquer and kind of fight your way through and say, whew, I made it.
Yeah,
I did it.
Yeah, yeah.
That's going to be the what happens with Steel Curtain.
Yeah. All I know is next year is shaping up already to be a good year, you know, and it's going to be fun. It's going to be the 13th.
Yeah, lots of launches. Dale's
yeah.
putting that out. Theme park families, yeah, launches. That's yeah. That's 2019.
Yeah, also Yukon Striker. That's the other one we got to talk about. That's up there, too. So there's some good roller coasters, man. Coming in 2019, it's going to be an exciting season for Coaster Radio, I think, as we watch these things being built during the off season and then getting out to experience them in the spring and summer of 2019, which is going to be a season 13 of Coaster Radio that starts with episode 500. That's going to be the first episode of season 13.
That's right. And that's coming up in just a little, a few weeks. We're going to take a couple of weeks off like we do here at the end of the summer. And then we come back with you guys in October. We'll be talking haunts and stuff like that. We'll have that season premiere. 500
yeah.
is the number of the episode there when we come back for season 13. It's going to be a lot of fun. We have some special tricks and treats in store for that episode. So you'll have to be sure to tune in and come back with us. But Mike, we're not going away completely. We've got some stuff in between this last season finale episode and the season premiere episode coming up in October.
Yeah, because technically this episode is number 497. That's how many we've
bad
done.
Bad math, Mike. You gotta jam something in there.
Yeah,
to make
we gotta do two. We got two more. So we've got some video podcasts we're gonna do for $498, $499 to get up to 500. So that's gonna be pretty good. But as we're thinking about season 13, we're planning it right now, but we really do need your help, and that is where the CoasterRadio.com listener survey comes in.
Yeah, survey.coasterradio.com. If you haven't done it yet, it just takes a little bit of time, but it does take some time because we are asking you a lot of questions. We want to know who you are, what you are, where you are, that sort of stuff. But then we get into the content of the podcast itself. What do you like? What don't you like? We have multiple choice, but there's also some short answer sections on this this survey. You could really give us some true feedback. And Mike, like we talk about every year that we've done this, because we've done the listener survey many, many years now. The results of the survey really do guide the show. So if there's something you like, something you don't like, something you want to see changed, survey.coastradio.com, tell us about it, and you're going to see it kind of put into effect. We go over it. You know, when we come back with the new season of Coastal Radio, we'll talk about the survey and we'll implement changes. Lots of stuff has changed in the past, Mike, as a result of the survey.
Yeah. And you know what? It's fascinating to see the results of it. They are confusing, as always. I know it's going to happen. Like, from this episode, somebody's going to write in on the survey and say, hey, Mike, you shouldn't have said big British balls. You shouldn't have said that phrase, Mike. But then somebody else is going to write in and say, oh, I love it when you talk about big British balls. So,
love it when you talk about big British.
That's what's going to happen. I know it. I can guarantee it. I would put $100 down on the table right now and say that's going to happen, because that's what happens. Yeah. You know, but it's all right. Yeah. It's all good. But EB and I take it all. We crunch the numbers. We figure out what's going on. Then that's how we figure out what's going on for season 13. So we've already got some. There you go. We've got fun stuff planned for it. So that's good. Also, EB, is there still time for the summer of Icy? It's like days left, right?
Finally, the summertime is over. So we are wrapping up our summer long contest, the Summer of Icy, our partnership with the wonderful folks at Icy, the coolest drink in the park. Send us an Icy selfie from the park. If you're still getting out to the parks, you still got a chance to win some cool Icy swag from your friends here at Coaster Radio. So take an Icy selfie at Coaster Radio with the hashtag Icy Life, and you might be chosen to win. This is the final weekend, and I'll be sending out our final prizes, and then we'll never talk about IC again.
There we go. You know, this is the end of season 12. It's the 45th episode that we've done. Man, it's been such a fun season, especially with going to the meetups and seeing all you guys there and all just the great interviews that we've gotten to do this year. But I think the coolest thing that has happened this year is the outpouring of support that we've gotten from our friends who help us out each and every week, each and every month at patreon.com/coastalradio.
Absolutely. Patreon.com/coastalradio. Guys, if you are not supporting the show at patreon.com/coastalradio, there is something terribly wrong with you. Go to patreon.com/coastalradio. There's all sorts of sweet perks. There's bonus content. There's all sorts of fun little extra things that are going to come your way.
Yep.
If you're a supporter of the podcast for just a couple of bucks a month or whatever you can spare, whatever you think the podcast is worth, patreon.com/coastalradio. And we will say thank you to everybody who supports the show. But an extra special thanks goes out to those who support us at the $20 pledge level: Brad Brinkman, John Brody, Rick Burnley, French Coaster, Stephen Coriel, Greg Delaney, Tony DePhillips, Neil Patrick Harris, Jordan Hill, Marshall the Big Easy Hider, Timmy Young, Brian Cosson, Matt from Yorkshire, Kevin McGully, Dan the T-shirt Guy, Miller, Chris Rankin, David Sakala, David Uwanowicz, Jason Wade, the Y Family, Kevin Wilson, Tim Wilson, and a pledge in memory of Alex Schechter.
And we really want to thank our honorary executive producers. We had a fantastic a Google Hangout with them just a couple days ago talking about the future.
Oh, we made some decisions there with the executive producers, yeah. Mike. That's right. The top tier pledge level at patreon.com/coastalradio. We were guiding the show on this last one.
It was really good. Sometimes we get on there and we just goof around and talk about theme parks and stuff, but this time we really made some good, you know, plans for the future. Thanks to Todd Houts, Slater, Brian Wackler, and Jason Wade. Fantastic guys there.
Yep.
So that is it. This is a live episode. EB, I don't even have to edit anything tonight. We went straight through.
You got no editing. There's no fancy music. We're not doing Coastal Radio, radio drama theater or anything like that.
Nothing.
There's no special fanfare out. We're just going to say bye, guys. Thank you so much for a great season of CoastalRadio.com. Can't wait to join you back again in the off season. The off season shows are always so much fun. Please do support the show. Patreon.com/CoastalRadio. If you're planning trips to some haunts, remember CoastalRadio.com first. Then click the hotels.com logo at the top of the page. That referral is another really good way to support the show. Do your Amazon shopping there too. CoastalRadio.com first. Click the Amazon.com logo at the top of the show. If you stuck through all of those names that we read on Patreon and you're listening to this message, an extra shout out and special thank you to you as well for that. So thank you, guys.
Yes, guys. Thank you so much. We'll see you back here at CoastalRadio.com for season 13 and the 500th episode of our show.
Thanks for listening to the original Theme Park Podcast. For CoasterRadio.com, I'm Neil Patrick Harris. Peace out, suckers. CoasterRadio.com is a production of Lift Hill Media, LLC. The show is intended for private use only and may not be redistributed or broadcast without our express written permission.